Some weeks before Christmas, I was having one of those moments where I was starting to think of the letters COD. And I thought to myself, well, I know what COD stands for. It stands for cash on delivery. I also think it could also mean our checkout date, that date in our life whenever we will pass out into God's eternity. But I thought I would put it out into the social media world and just see how many people would come back with different suggestions. And I also think that sometimes the suggestions come back was all to do with your age. So the older people all knew of cash on delivery, whereas the younger people, they were looking at different things like Call of Duty was one of their things. There were 18 different suggestions come back for the letters COD. But one of the suggestions that came back was the words, come on down. Come on down. And I'm sure if you remember that phrase that used to be used, it was used in a Saturday night game show that used to be on a number of years back. On the program was called The Price is Right. And this is where the audience would be asked to take part, and they would be shouted upon to come on down, and they would then have to guess the price of different items. I mean, at that point, the spectator as such became the participant in the game, and they would run down to that front of the program, and they would be shouting, they'd be cheering, all the razzmatazz, the music, all those things and excitement would be happening. Of course, they had the massive opportunity of winning great prizes to take home with them. But, you know, as I thought of that and I started to think of ourselves so often, as you look at your life, are you actually a spectator in life or are you a participant in life? Are you one of those people that's just letting life pass you by? And I'm sure whenever we look at different aspects of our life, there's times whenever we are fully participants, or we might just be the spectator looking on. Look at our family. Are we fully involved in the family? Our friends, our work colleagues, in the place of the church life, are you a participant this morning? Or are you just looking on from a distance? Maybe even within our community, where are you in all of those things? Are you just doing enough to get by, or are you blazing a trail from the front? As we look at chapter 12 of Hebrews, I believe that we can see there is some spectators here and there is some participants. But I want to think of the participants this morning. And we are brought into, I believe, as one of the greatest races that is given in Scripture. And we're brought into that race of life as well, as we think about it this morning. We are looking here at the runners taking part in chapter 12. But as we think of the spectators just for a moment, the spectators, it is those words. You look at verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And those witnesses is that idea of spectators. Can also be the idea of an example as well, of course. But where do we find these witnesses? Where do we find these spectators? Where do we find these examples? Well, in God's word, they're actually in chapter 11. They were examples for us. These were ordinary men and women who were outstanding for God. They have run their race already, and they have received the prize. The term, in many ways, of being a witness or spectator can be, in this sense, very positive. But there's also that thought where people can no longer run the race, or because of infirmity or age, they may be spectators in a sense looking on, and we understand that in real life. But they can be the ones who are cheering us on from the benches as such, or the stalls. But they're also that shining example to the younger people of our congregation. I just wonder, as we think of the examples within the church, you know, who is it that stands out as an example in the prayer of our churches? Maybe someone that we remember, maybe today they can't come out, or outreach of the church, or the giving of the church. And yet as we come to God's word, I'm sure we are all encouraged that every one of us should be a participant in life and be a participant in the church. Well, there may be people who are not in the forefront, they're not taking the public stand in front of a church or whatever, but they're still working. They're still a participant. They're still out there encouraging. They're still very active. I'm sure we can all agree with the fact that many churches, the greatest problem today is that there's too many people who are spectators in the negative sense. Somebody says, I love work, but I could watch it all day. We have too many onlookers today within the church. Just look over, actually, into chapter 11. Look at verse 7 very briefly. You will see Noah. You know, imagine somebody coming along and said, I want you to go and build an ark. This man had never seen rain. This man had never seen a river in that sense, what we have here that was to come about. But God said, come on down, Noah. I want you to be a participant. Look at verse 8 to verse 10. We have there Abraham. He was told to leave his land that he was in. God said, Abraham, come on down. I want you to go with me into another land. Then in verse 17, God says to him at that point, he wants him to sacrifice his son. Come on down, Abraham. Someone one time said, a little plaque my wife has, a fridge magnet, it said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Abraham was a man who was willing to give up the very precious things of life. We have the stories of Moses in here and his parents. Look what his parents did. At that point in their life, God said, I need you to do something. I need you to come on down. I need you to stand up at this time. I need you to save the life of your child. Moses stood up for his people. He left. We have Rahab mentioned. Look how what she did. People like Gideon, Samson, David, all people that God said, come on down. I need you to be a participant in this life. Ordinary men and women doing extraordinary things for God. Turn with me, please, very briefly to Mark 14. Mark 14 and verse 3. And being in Bethany in a house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. Here was a woman who wanted to be a participant. Here's a woman who gave very precious. And in times in life, we are called at different parts in life to be a participant in life. We're called to come on down for that time, for that season. You mean some of the people, it says verse 4, had indignation against her. And they started to think, you might have sold this for 300 pennies worth. But Christ said there in verse 6, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. We have the story over in Luke 10 of the Good Samaritan. We see here a man that stepped forward, a man where the priest had walked past earlier, a man lying in the dirt, bleeding and dying in the dirt. He walked past, the Levite with all his religion also, he came over and looked and walked on past. There was a great need here. But the response of religion as such was to be a spectator or an onlooker in the negative sense. But the Samaritan was one who came up and was a participant. He was the one who went down in and lifted the man off the dirt. I want you just to think of it for a moment. This man of a different culture, this man came in and he lifted him up and he was dirty. And I'm sure it dirtied his clothes as well. It was going to cost him money. It cost him emotionally, dealing with a man at the point of death. The fear, potentially, of what would happen also. The financial cost that there was. It put him out of his way. My goodness, how sometimes we have opportunities that maybe are there as God's people to do something. But you know what? It might just put us out of our way today. why would we ask that person to our house for tea because they don't like a certain type of food? Or why would we do something for someone because it just puts me out of my way of going? But this man, this Samaritan, was all in. He was all in. He even gave money and went on his journey and then was coming back again and would pay whatever was due. Ordinary men and women doing extraordinary things. Even we think of the young boy in John 6, the young boy who came with the fish and the loaves, the feeding of the 5,000. He was a participant. I wonder today, are you a participant in this race? Are you running full out today? Are you taking the opportunities? Secondly, I want you to notice also in this passage in Hebrews 12, I want you to notice also the pathway. The pathway. You know, as we look at the pathway, it's very, very clear that it's a pathway of separation. You might say, well, how's it a pathway of separation? Well, look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. Those things that are potentially maybe okay in life, but they're holding us back from following after God. If you go to run a race, you're not going to take extra things with you to run. You're not going to be taking a backpack with you as well. Unless you're off your out of your mind altogether. You're going to be, as a participant in a race, you're going to aim to be that correct body weight. As you can see, I'm not really a runner or an athlete in that sense. But you also notice that the runner, that person that's going to participate in this race, has also got to have the correct clothing. You know, you don't go out with a suit on to run a race or a pair of jeans. You've got clothes that are designed for running. And maybe in some cases, whenever we think of some of the things we need to let go of in life, have you ever thought the things that are holding you back from God, that are holding you back from running the race? You know, it could be things that could be television. It could be social media. It could be some of your friends that are holding you back. It could be your place of work. It could be your desire for the nice things in life. What's holding you back today? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Sin that could also be in our lives. I remember reading the life story of Jessica Ennis, the Olympic gold medal winner. And she told in her life story of how whenever she was in the midst of that training to take part in the Olympics, that she would isolate herself from anyone that had the cold. You know, we all know the secret of that now, don't we? But she would have stayed away from people who even had a sniffle, just in case that she might get it and would not be able to get to run the race. I wonder today, are we living our lives like that, where we will not touch or handle something just in case it stops us from running? Oh, the patience is needed here. The patience, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. This is an endurance race. It's not just a quick 100-meter run as such. It's a marathon in that sense. Turning over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Another passage, really, which focuses on the running in Scripture and relating it to our Christian life. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The idea here of this being temperate, it's that idea of being self-controlled, of being disciplined. I watched a program one night on Mo Farah, and he talked about his training which he would do out in Kenya, I believe it was, how he would spend 6 months of the year away from his family just that he might train well. And even whenever he was home, he would sleep in an oxygen tent, that oxygen would help him even more. His wife on one side and him on the other with an oxygen tent on him. A bit strange, but that's the lens that he would go to, that he would train. In this case, as the athletes who are preparing themselves for the games, they abstain themselves from all the unwholesome foods and the wines and the way of life that they might be temperate. What are some of the things that we might need to remove from our life, the things if we are living in a temperate life? Verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 9 says there about our bodies, keeping under our bodies and bringing it into subjection. The idea here is to bring it into slavery, that the body might be a servant to us. And not only is this pathway of separation, but it's a pathway of service. Different parts throughout the scriptures, you will see, it says in Romans 1 and verse 1, just the words there just for a moment, Romans 1 verse 1, talks about Paul. Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The separation, the service, it goes hand in hand. James 1 and 1, James, a servant of God. 2 Peter 1 and 1, Simon Peter, a servant. Jude 1 and 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. A servant. And no greater example we can have of one who was a servant than one that was Christ, who came down and washed the very feet of the disciples. Willing to be a servant to them. And that is a pathway of service that we're called to. In Philippians chapter 2, it says there, Philippians 2 and the verse 7 and 8, says of Christ, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. When found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now I wonder today, are you taking that place as a servant on the pathway of life? Yes, a pathway can be discouraging, the pathway can be disheartening, the pathway can be dismaying. But we're continually being encouraged by Scripture, as it says in Galatians 6 and verse 9 and 10, and let us not be weary in well-doing. That idea of the loss of spirit, we're empty, but we're not to be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not, and we have therefore let us opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. You know, many times we're in a place where we're tired. And I'm quite sure that many times the elders and deacons of a church, ministers of a church, they get tired, they get discouraged. The difficulties can be sometimes of looking after a flock in the spiritual sense. But we're not to tire. We're not to tire. Because the solution is given to us as we continually think about it in Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus. Because whenever we get tired, we're to look unto him. He's our example. He's the one who's went on before us. See, we're to turn our eyes off self today, and we're to turn our eyes off other people today, because the reality is that the other people will let us down, other people will hurt us, other people will do us harm, and we're to get our eyes off things. Sometimes we get so caught up in the things of life. I watched a program this week, and it was to do with the wealth in Dubai and the influencers and the different people who had finance and millionaires, billionaires, all these things. One young guy drives about his everyday cars a Rolls Royce. He decided he would take it in and he would just get it wrapped in a different color. Another family, and they hired a couple of servants, and their servants were from the Philippines and paid them really well, and yet the servants were trying to get their children through college. They were working in Dubai and sending all the money home to to look after their children at home, to get them through education. And yet the family they were looking after, they just decided to take a private jet flight off to Jersey or somewhere where it was. $80,000 just for the one flight. Could have paid for the young boy's education, I'm sure. Living in wealth. Sometimes our eyes are on things. It doesn't have to be millions either. But the reality is that whenever we leave this scene of time, we have nothing. We leave it all behind. Just before Christmas, my father passed away. And just as we left his room, just after his passing, the only thing we took that were special to my mother were maybe photographs. There was nothing left. All his worldly goods were for nothing. Gone. And just will we, for you and I, will be exactly the same this morning. But our eyes are to be upon Christ. We looked upon Christ for salvation. Look unto me and be ye saved, it says in Isaiah 45 and 22. We're also, our eyes are to be upon him in the sense of service. It says in Psalm 123 verse 2, behold, his eyes of the servant look unto the hand of their masters. See, we're to be in that service. And also we look to him in the sense of support. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. But we're in this race today. And we can run this race. As Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's the secret today. Even in the pathway where we get defeated, disheartened, discouraged, we look to Christ who helps us. We lift our eyes. Even that lifting of ourselves, it changes. Our physiology changes. The very posture, lifting up our eyes. A friend of mine was in the hospital. He was on a drip. He was near death at one point. And as he watched other people walking across the hospital wards, they were walking with their shoulders drooped, legs bent, and he was in that place. They were in that place of discouragement. And one of the things he did, that whenever he got out of bed, he thought, I'm going to walk as straight as I can, as straight as I can, upright as I can, and walk as with a purpose as I can. And even in doing that, it created a difference in him. And so it is, I believe, that even that we are to hold ourselves and to run as best we can. Are you running the race today? Are you on that straight path today? That horizontal path, level and plain and smooth, what it should be. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. Is that what we're running for? Is our eyes focused on him today? In Proverbs 4, verse 25 to 27 says, let thine eyes look on, look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight up before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. As we run this race, we are running with one purpose. And that one purpose is that we might have the prize. As we read in 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. In those days, the runners in the Olympics, they would have ran for the laurel wreath, something which would decay and fall apart. In today's world, we run for maybe a medal. You know, one of the greatest things, even if you take part in a small run, would be to get that little medal, that little prize, that little recognition that you can hang around your neck, that you've completed the race. Do you know, in some ways, some people only get that first or second or third medal, but we get the prize for completing the race, don't we? We're all heading for that finish line. We're all looking for that reward in heaven. And Christ has went on before us, so he has. For us, it's about finishing the race. 2011, I signed up for what was called Operation 26.2. This was where a group of non-marathon runners were to take part and complete a marathon in Belfast. I remember having to sign a form that I could complete 5 miles either walking or running, and I'll tell you, it took a lot to get me over that 5 miles to start with. But one of the men who was training us, he said, if I can get you to the start line, then you'll finish. And I often wondered, what did he mean by that? But what he was getting to was, if you can do all the training beforehand and preparation beforehand, you'll get to the finish line. The race really in the day was a display of all the work that had went on before behind closed doors. And very few people will see the difficulties that people go through in their preparation for a marathon or a run or whatever it might be. They won't see the difficulties that there are getting up the stairs. They won't see the days whenever your mindset is wrong, the days whenever you go out to run and you end up walking home. They'll not see the cold baths that you get into to try and relieve the aches and pains. The pathway to this prize is not easy. As the hymn says, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. The Christian life is not easy. It's not easy in our families. It's not easy in the work of the church. It's not easy even in a place of work. It's not easy as we seek to live our life even in our communities. Now, each time I went out to run, it was so bad I couldn't run from the house to practice. I had to get my wife to drive me away, maybe the 5 miles, 6 miles, 13 miles, and then I'd have to run home. I had no other option. That was the thing. I always gave her an out, though. If I wasn't back by a certain time, she'd have to come and look for me and pick me up or something. We are to run to obtain. And there should be no stopping us. And whenever I ran with that idea of a finish line, that idea of seeing my wife and family at the finish line. I would run with that prize in focus. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. That's what we're running for, believer, today. You know, I have a number of medals and pictures and things that I've completed and different things. Did it for the fun of it, for the challenge of it. But here's the reality, all the great runners, all the great athletes of our today, they will all one day join the ranks of spectators. No longer have the stamina. Each one will pass away. But we are encouraged to press toward the mark. We're to press for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we're called to do today. We're called to that when we pass from this scene of time into the next, to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do you get that? Your last breath here, and just over the finish line. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, it says, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Verse 8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's what we're running for. That's the prize that we're on this road to. You know, when you see a group of people and all of a sudden they're called forward to receive their medal, the music's going and it's put over their neck. I just wonder if you think of that in a spiritual sense, you know, when Christ called you forward to receive your medal, your crown of righteousness. 1 Corinthians 3:14 says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. You know, there's a cost. We've talked today about the participation, we've talked about the pathway, and we've talked about the prize. But we're always told, even through Scripture, we're to count the cost. Luke 14:33 says, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. We're encouraged in Romans 12:1 that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We started off thinking about that game show. The reality is the price is right. The price is right. It's reasonable service. And Christ says, come on down. Be an active participant. Play full out in that sense. Get on the pathway of service and stay on it. We're to run on that pathway looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we're to run for that prize, that well done, to hear from Christ. Just think about it. All what you have will be gone. Are you working for the after, or are you still working in the present? The Lord bless this word even to your hearts this morning.